Jack Rice Defense. You can find Jack Rice Defense, the best defense lawyer in Minneapolis, St. Paul, at jackricelaw.com. Hey, Jack.
Yeah, great to be with you again. Thanks for having me on the program.
No, it's my pleasure. My show is always better when you're here. It really is. let's start. Okay, so there's a trend I'm noticing, and we'll go through this, that when we've had Kyle Rittenhouse, we'll talk about the attempted kidnapping and murder of the governor of Michigan. We've got the case of the South Dakota Attorney General. We have had a new turn where we have people who are GOP darlings or politicians or whatever you want to call it, far-right individuals committing undeniable crimes. I mean, Kyle Rittenhouse should not have been there. That was not his hometown. That was not his business. He brought the gun. He instigated the fight, and he killed three people in the street, and they found him not guilty. And, you know, and as well as also, we finally have an impeachment trial going to happen in South Dakota, amazingly. I'll get to that in a second, but you've got this case in Michigan where it's known they were plotting to kidnap and kill the governor prior to the FBI being involved. They clearly were going along with the idea of kidnapping and killing the governor after the FBI was involved, but yet they acquitted two of them, and there's still a hung jury on lesser charges. What is your thoughts on this? Because it is really somewhat shocking that the party of law and order doesn't seem to want to hold their own members to law or order.
Oh, there are two things to think about. Venue being one of them, which we'll get to in a sec. And the other is the perception of law enforcement. And I think that piece in some ways is actually crossing political boundaries. And maybe we start with that one first. Okay. The idea that we question the quality of and the integrity and even honesty of law enforcement. We are seeing that across the board at all levels. This includes not just local police officers like the Minneapolis Police Department, not like just like the Brooklyn Center Police Department, the St. Paul Police Department. This is going all the way up to the FBI. And so what we saw was that happening in this case. That's one piece. The venue piece is another one. And that one's a little bit different. What venue really is it means where a trial takes place. Now, you have to contemplate where this trial took place of these four men charged with essentially attempting to kidnap and murder a sitting Michigan governor. They are in, it depends on where you sit. If you're from Michigan, you might call it this, Central Michigan. But really, you think the Upper Peninsula, there's that part. Some people call that Northern Michigan. And then there's the Central Michigan or Western Central Michigan, Grand Rapids area. They are extremely conservative in many, many ways. And what you got was a jury who looked at this, who was consistently pushing in that direction. The problem, of course, is that from a prosecutor's standpoint, how do you move venue if you're essentially a county attorney and say, the people in my own county can't rule fairly in a case, and so therefore I need to move it someplace else? It's political suicide, so they're stuck with that. And in this particular case, what you ended up with, well, frankly, was an acquittal in two and a hung jury in two. There we sit.
When I read through the trial of this a little bit and some of the highlights of that trial, let's just go once again. Am I crazy? I mean, even if you believe their argument with the FBI, that these grown adults, they smoke too much pot, and they're not responsible for the actions because the big bad mean FBI guy was the one that was the coordinator of all of this. That was their argument. But it still does not explain. I mean, to come to the rulings you have to ignore the fact that they were plotting on doing this prior to the FBI being involved. That was an established fact, as well as also that at no point did they look at the FBI guy and say, hey, I like my dope and all, but hey, I'm not going to go kidnap and kill the governor. That's on you. They clearly were going along with this. This should have been a conviction, shouldn't it? I think at least it looked like it.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. This is generally what you're always looking for. And this is sort of what happens when I'm dealing with criminal defense cases. There's always a question of entrapment. And that's really what the defense was arguing. They were arguing that but for the FBI, this never would have happened. But the response from the prosecution, and this is actually what they argued. They argued that the defense, that these four men took multiple steps, multiple opportunities to move towards this crime. So let's go down the list. What they did was they cased the governor's vacation home twice. Remember, this was the plan. What they were going to do is they were going to talk about knocking out a bridge where the governor's vacation home was, kidnapping the governor, doing one of two things, taking her out to the middle of Lake Michigan and dropping her into Lake Michigan, or taking her to a secondary location and actually hanging her. That's part of it. So what they did was they cased this vacation home multiple times, drawing maps of the area, buying binoculars, $3,800 worth of binoculars, building an actual model of the cottage so they could practice an extraction, how you would go down that piece, using encrypted chats to conceal what they were doing. They practiced using explosives so they can actually get ready to use this. So this was all part of those active steps. And when ultimately they went to meet and to prepare and to start this process, that's when the FBI nabbed back and said, it wasn't us. It was one of the undercover informants known as Big Dan. It was Big Dan who drove this. It wasn't us, despite the fact that each of these men, again, allegedly, went through the process of all of those things. There we sit.
I made the point. I said it's ludicrous to act as if these grown white men, they were just foils. They really didn't do anything. They smoked some dope. And I kept saying to myself, if this was the same people who are saying that, if this was four, black 12-year-olds committed crime, the first words out of their mouth would have been, don't try to blame anyone else for the actions. They knew exactly what they did. Try them as adults. And
how about this one, Matt? One of the things they did with Big Dan was that one of the things they practiced with is one of them was using a balloon filled with peas. And the idea was you cook this to the point that it explodes and it spreads shrapnel out. So it can cause massive havoc to human beings. And they actually tried this. And so if that is not a step forward in the process, this isn't just a bunch of guys sitting around spouting off. I mean, they argued that's what it was. Mm-hmm. But what they were trying to say was, this is a bunch of Yahoo nothing angry guys sitting around a bar drinking together, talking about this abstract idea. But it ignores the planning, the process, the weapons, the destruction, the building of a cottage so they could work on the extraction piece. I mean, these are all specific steps that go way beyond Billy Bob sitting around with his cousins or his buddies and simply saying, what we're going to do here, boys, is we're going to take this lady out. And then they drink a few more beers and they go home and fall asleep. This wasn't that. But guess what? A jury in venue, the right kind of jury, and this is why that issue of the right kind of jury matters so much, came down with not guilty, a failure by the prosecution to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that it happened for two, and a hung jury for the other two. That is astounding.
And is there any other way that these people could be held accountable? Is that an option?
It's going to be hard. I mean, there's the two they can always try again, but they're afraid to. I mean, how about this? What isn't even mentioned? There's a couple of guys, at least one guy we know for sure, but a couple, as I understand it, who actually pled guilty and agreed to testify for the police, to testify for the state in this case. So these guys actually pled guilty, cooperated with the government. They will now be held accountable. But the guys that were the real players, those guys were not. Are not, won't be. Now, two of them could be, but I think there's a lot of people with a lot of heartburn right now saying, do we really want to do this again, or do we really want to just move on?
I think you got to. I mean, they tried to kidnap and kill the governor, and I think that if you just shrug your shoulders on this, you quite literally will just be asking for this to happen. I guarantee you, the second that verdict came down, there are militia groups in Michigan who are like, okay, all right, how do we do this? We need to go get her because we'll not be held accountable in this state.
Well, you know that one of the things that I think does happen is that it's such a wacky plan. It's such a wacky thing to do. I don't mean wacky in the sense of if they had been able to accomplish it, but if you just hear it, you sort of sit your head and go, wow, who are these yahoos? And the idea that anybody would actually do it, it's such an extraordinary plan that you would actually be willing to try to take a sitting governor of a state because you didn't like how they actually made the rulings and made the decisions that they made, that you would get so invested that you would decide you're going to go and murder that person. It's so astounding that the defense actually has the benefit of the, how crazy that is. Because what you can say is, who would actually think of that? That is just, that's insane that anybody would think that way. And a bunch of people would shake their head and say, yes, that's insane. And then you can come back very quickly with, exactly. That's exactly. If this is that insane, nobody really could have planned to do this. Not even these four yahoos.
It's unbelievable. Jack Rice, kind enough to join us. Jack Rice Defense, once again, is the law firm. Jack, let's look in South Dakota. Here's another example. Now, okay, clearly, and I said this the other day, if this was a Democratic attorney general in South Dakota, not only would he have been thrown out of office a year plus ago, he probably would have already been in jail for a long time. They clearly in South Dakota are defending him, although it does look like they're at the very least they could do. They had a 36 to 31 vote in the House, South Dakota House, to hold Attorney General Jason Rovsberg. They impeached him basically. There's now going to be a trial in the Senate where they have to get 2/3 majority in the Senate. And the likelihood is they won't, because this guy hit a man on the road, hit him so hard they found his glasses in the front seat of his car, and he still tried to play off, oh, I hit a deer.
What does it say when we put politics ahead of country? I mean, I realize that never happens. I realize when we talk about impeachment that we never contemplate how things should work. I realize when we're actually voting for somebody who is a potential justice of the Supreme Court, we would never decide that even if they're one of the most competent, capable individuals to probably ever sit and have and actually has more trial experience than the rest of the court combined, that we would actually look at it politically. Sadly, I think what we're seeing in the country is you're seeing an enormous number of people who've decided that the answer isn't about what's best for all. It's about what's best for us. And that's going to be a very huge downfall, because there will come a point when the vast majority of people, all of us outside of the political realm, those who are pulling the levers of power, will simply disengage. And when that happens, you will see this start to spin out of control in a way that we haven't seen. This concept of rule of law that we all buy in, when nobody buys in anymore, you can do all sorts of things, because people are like, well, you know what, those guys do it. You know what happened when Obama was in office? You know what happened when George Bush was in office? You know what happened when Reagan was in office? When Bill Clinton was in office? I mean, you decide which side you're on. But if we get to the place where all we have to do now is say, well, as long as we win, that's what happens when you get to this place. And we're watching it happen as we speak.
Well, and can I bring up the obvious point? I mean, it's you're right. We're at a point right now where, especially in the right in this country, it is party over country, and that is just the way it is. And this is 40 years of brainwashing and far right policy on example. I mean, you can't get even moderate Republicans, I know, won't vote against the Republican Party, even though that they're disgusted by it, because they've just been brainwashed into doing it. What you're talking about now, though, is say that in Hennepin County, we have a trial, a cop kills someone, and they hold him accountable. Now, what it seems like is not that that was bias, that we just held the officer accountable. In Republican areas, the mentality is now, well, we can't hold cops accountable because they held that one accountable down there with that liberal judgment, even though it wasn't, it was just a judgment. And so now they're going to go out of their way to basically try to right that wrong in their own mind by allowing officers that might have killed someone somewhere else to go free. I mean, that's really, as I see this playing out, that's where eventually this is headed. It's just going to be if you dare hold someone accountable, then we'll do our best to never hold anyone else accountable.
No, we're seeing that all over the country.
Yeah.
I mean, you can watch this. I do a lot of thing on law and crime and a lot of stuff on court TV and elsewhere. And you can look at a lot of national criminal trials And you'll see that happening right now. I mean, there's a district attorney down in Texas who has actually been prosecuting the police for misconduct. And I believe the number is like 15. But the reason he's doing that is because their behavior is over the top in terms. It was undeniable. And the problem is what you're seeing is that in that particular case, large swaths of law enforcement seeing him as the enemy. And the question becomes is what happens when true law and order, I don't mean law and order in the sense that you shine up the badge and you put it sort of on the stage and you hold it up as sacrosanct. I mean true law and order, when that is actually going to be the standard, and that may actually cut against those in uniform who are acting inappropriately, is the standard, and you see the police on the other side of it, then you're in a very, very, very difficult place again. This takes us back. It's your problem when you see this as a systemic failure, and we're really getting to that place where it's not just political, but it's also in terms of race, in terms of bias, in terms of law enforcement application, and what all that means. And if we don't really sit down and recognize this, and we're seeing the left is acknowledging that this is what this means, but frequently I'm seeing it on the right, not always, because there are some of those traditional Republicans who are out there who are fiscal Republicans, but otherwise they're actually in the right place. And in that case, you're seeing a very large number of people are saying, whatever the Dems are for, we're against. Whatever they don't want, we're for. Well, what about being right? And I should say, what about being correct?
Mm-hmm. It's that that's disturbing.
That's what I'm here for.
But it's just, you're spot on.
We can talk about the weather.
You're spot on. No, you're 1,000% correct, sir. But yeah, God. One last thing, if I can. 1-6 committee now says they have enough evidence to basically recommend criminal charges against Trump. There's obviously, even though there's a lot of lawyers that are on that committee, and there's a lot of legal experts here. Talk about that. Just what's that bar that they have reached then?
It's a race for time.
Okay.
I mean, really, in the end of the day, this is a race for time. And that the real fear in the end is that no matter what else happens, what happens if the Republicans can take it? If they can take a majority, they shut down everything.
Yeah.
And that's really what the fight is right now. So you're saying this on this question and whether or not they're willing to do it. There's an enormous amount of evidence. And they seem to be trying to fill in every single gap. But remember, you're getting a systemic failure because a large swath of the political parties themselves, the Republicans themselves, are trying to shut down the very investigation to determine not just whether or not Trump is guilty, but whether or not anything happened. They want to say that nothing happened rather than saying, let's find out what happened. That is extraordinary that that's where we sit right now. Think about so many different, think about, you know, what was going on with Nixon and Watergate. Think about what was going on with other sort of corruption aspects of the past where we actually said, what happened? Was it our fault? Was it their fault? Was it his fault? But what you're seeing now is to say, I don't care. I don't care what happened. Let's just move along.
It's, and I don't know how you ever fix this. That's the thing, but it is.
Well, you don't fix it if you can't even look at it.
Exactly. And they don't want to look at it. As a matter of fact, they want to keep encouraging, and that's the problem. Rice.
By the way, isn't that really the problem, right? At the end of the day, it's one of those things where, you know, until you admit you have a problem, it says that's the only step forward first. If you got to say, I got a problem before you can actually address it. Well, if you just deny that the problem exists, so I guess everybody wins or loses.
It's
so negative today, Matt. What's going on?
It's a very them and us there thing. This is what the Republicans have been breeding for basically the last 40 years, and it's now come to fruition. And this is, you know, they wanted a world where there will be no accountability ever for Republicans and constant accountability for Democrats, even if they've done nothing. And they pretty much have achieved that. And until the Democrats find their frickin' spines and actually start, you know, punching the bullies in the face, they're just not going to be able to counterpoint this, and that's the problem that we've got right now. So Jack Rice Defense, it is, if you need a defense lawyer, call Jack, sit down, talk with him. He is the best defense lawyer in Minneapolis-St. Paul. JackRiceLaw.com, JackRiceLaw.com. Jack, hey, I appreciate it. It's we have to be honest, and today was a lot of honesty, so I appreciate the time today, my friend.
Thank you, my friend. Bye-bye.